My name is Scott Smith. I'll be your host today, and welcome to the interview with Dr. Paul Cates. We're going to be covering the very intriguing and interesting and informative topic, the seven most common homeschooling mistakes parents make that rob their children of academic and life potential. And we're excited to have on the call with us today a very accomplished researcher in this field and has been just a godsend to many homeschooling parents around the world, Dr. Paul Cates. By way of introduction, Dr. Paul Cates has actually been involved in the ministry and the educational field for over 50 years. He was actually the starting director of the psychoeducational clinic for DePaul University. He's been involved in starting Christian schools, and also he was involved in the beginnings of the homeschool movement, which, as we know, is a worldwide phenomenon. Also, he's an ongoing researcher in the field of ADD and ADHD and the learning disorders that are associated with those two. And he specifically has been involved in studying the effects of medication on ADHD children and also comorbid conditions that are associated with those. Interestingly, he also works with gifted children, helping them to achieve their potential. He has a heart for homeschooling parents and also helping them to realize and accomplish God's potential, God's vision for those children through the homeschooling environment. And today we're going to be discussing this very interesting topic. Dr. Cates, it is a pleasure to have you on the call today.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're excited about the topic, and I believe it's going to help a lot of parents to get a better grasp on what they may be doing inadvertently to hinder their children's potential. You know, as parents, we all understand that we are stewards of the young lives of our children, and we've taken on the responsibility, the personal responsibility, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to be insightful into what our children's needs are and what their learning styles are and help them ultimately reach their potential. So we're really excited about what you have to share today in equipping us to be better stewards of our children's lives and better parents and better home educators. Well, let's dive right into the material. I'm sure that over the course of 50 years, you've seen many mistakes made by well-intended parents who are attempting to homeschool their children. Is that true?
Yes, it's not only parents that I've seen this, but I've seen that probably in the whole field of education. I've been involved as a certified teacher also for 50-some years. So I have seen teachers, not intentionally, but because of not knowing some of the complexities of the children that they're dealing with, making a lot of mistakes that have probably affected, not positively, but negatively, the outcome that they've had with some of the children that I know they would have loved to have been successful with.
Indeed. And, you know, we've even had our own daughter in with you, as we're homeschooling parents, and we have a firsthand relationship with you and Faith Christian Ministries and Faith Christian Academy, and we have sat under your tutelage, and we can hear your heart, and that your desire is not to be critical, but to be as helpful as you can be, but you often call it like you see it. Let's dive right in. I mean, these are the mistakes, common mistakes, that homeschooling and even, like you said, traditional educators and even Christian school educators may make that can hinder their children's potential. Let's dive right in. Mistake number one, share that with us.
Attempting a traditional school at home or even a traditional education for a child that's even in public or private school without making proper modifications. The simple solution that many people think is one of two things. One, just place the child in a regular classroom so that he or she is with the peer group and they will function as best as possible, but at least they'll have the social interaction. Also, that they don't want the stigma of the child getting special help because it will affect how they feel about what they are and what's going on. The sad thing about these things is I can give you one example of a child we saw just recently, a beautiful young little girl going on 8 years of age. Now, she was going to go to the public school, and they had made a decision. She's 8 years of age, so they would place her in a regular second grade classroom. And yet, overall, developmentally, she was functioning and cognitively and academically being able to perform like a child that was 3 years of age. She was very excited about what she could do. But placing her in that type of environment for 87% of the day was going to be leading to nothing but total disaster. Mm. Unfortunately, the way education reads now in the public sector, the in thing is to place them in a regular classroom for about 80% of the time. But I want to dwell here for a moment on what we're doing in the homeschooling market. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there we're not doing much better. Many people know that their child has a difficulty, so of course they want to yank them out of either public or private school. The problem is that much of the advice they get is just to place them into a curriculum that's comparable to the child's chronological age. That's not going to work. It's a program that is set for disaster, and that the child will start out probably liking the situation because they're getting one-on-one help. That's something they were not getting before. They like the personal attention. But having things cognitively and academically way above what they can do is going to lead to them becoming very frustrated, very disheartened, and very discouraged, and their whole feelings about themselves are going to start to diminish at a very rapid rate. They need to have someone assess what levels are they at, and then to help them to get an individual program that can meet them where they are. And that is extremely important. That has to be done on a one-to-one basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in terms of bringing the child home, let's say, you know, we're approaching the homeschool education model, our tendency would be, especially if we've never done this before, our tendency would be to basically set up a traditional environment, just doing it at home. Are you suggesting that we educate our children in a way that's antithetical to the traditional homeschool, where we just kind of maybe, you know, do it on the sofa all day instead of at a desk, or, you know, or I mean, how does it look in terms of, I mean, how much flexibility do we have in terms of implementation in school at home if it's not going to be traditional?
Well, I guess it would depend which part of the subject that we want to address first. The first step, of course, is a good one, recognizing that for one reason or another, your child is not making it in the classroom where they find themselves at the moment. Now, that's the first step, that we're going in the right direction. Then at that point, we've got to find someone that can help them to assess where is that child functioning. And because the child functions in one academic area at one level, doesn't mean that he or she is functioning at that same level in all the academic areas. That has to be assessed. The thing that's very, very important is to discover, number one, how your child learns. Number two, how are you going to meet those learning needs? And number three, to be trained to be able to teach your child in the biblical way that God would intend for you to do. You know, God, if you will look at his word very carefully, does not have a grade level system. That is something that has come out of the humanistic movement, that this is what we do in grade one, this is what we do in grade two, this is what we do in grade three. Now, I'm not saying that I'm against that we teach things concept upon concept. That is biblical. Mm-hmm. Or precept upon precept. That is biblical. But not all children are ready at 7 years of age for the academics of a, quote, typical 7-year-old curriculum. Now, some children are ready at 3 or 4 for that 7-year-old curriculum, and that needs to be developed also. And then other children are nowhere near that and need to have a special program to help them to achieve from where they are. God didn't make any mistakes when he created our children, and all children can succeed, but we need to honestly be able to assess and know where they are when we start to work with them. If we don't, we are going to frustrate them. We are going to have a disaster even in our homeschooling program or the new program that we place them in. The thing that we have to get out of our head is that these children, and they can be at both ends of the spectrum, very, very gifted or having handicaps that in one way or another are deterring their learning, they need to be treated on an individual basis. God never said in his word that we were to treat all children the same way or to treat them on a bell-shaped curve. God said that we were to handle them as individuals, even in one family. God makes each of us unique and each of us different, and we need to attempt to do that, understanding that there isn't just one mold or one program that fits all children.
Mm. Well, that actually leads us into mistake number two. Mistake number two would be what?
Failing to discover the optimum length that a child can attain to what we are trying to teach them. And this is not a very simple issue to come up with a solution for. We assume that many children, by the time they're 6 to 10 years of age, have an attention span that can take them at least 15 to 20 minutes. That is not true of many children that, for one reason or another, have special needs. And then, again, it depends also how we are teaching. Are we teaching the subject auditorily? Are we presenting the material visually? Are we presenting the material multitask, being visual, auditory, kinesthetic, or tactile? And all of those lengths that children can handle what they're getting exposed to makes a difference whether our teaching will be successful or our teaching will turn into a disaster. Mm. Let's just dwell there for a moment, okay?
Sure.
When you go beyond what we even as adults can handle, we can be hearing, but we're not processing what we're hearing. At night you can be reading, but if you're overexerted and overtired, okay, you could have read the last 30 pages of a book that you really are into, and it dawns on you, you know what, I didn't really understand a thing that I read, or I can't remember it, okay? Mm-hmm. This is going beyond what we can handle at the moment. Well, some of us have children that have problems in areas like this that affect how they're going to learn during the regular day. So if we are picking up a curriculum, we are trying to apply the teaching strategies for 20 to 40 or 45 minutes in the same modality, we are again setting them up for failure. They can't handle it. And so what they do is they become fidgety, they become distractible, they become hyperactive, and they start accumulating all of those labels that the world loves to place on somebody who is not responding to our, quote, perfect curriculum or our perfect teaching strategy. We need to understand we have produced those conditions, and then we need to get help in knowing what to do to prevent this from happening. Because when this does take place, okay, and we've gone beyond mm-hmm. what a child or an adult can do, then we have a physiological process setting in where a child or an adult is depleting their serotonin, their dopamine, their norepinephrine levels, okay? And this can lead to either extreme aggression or can lead to extreme depression, and if untreated for a long enough time, could even lead to suicide.
Wow, there are serious implications here.
Yes, this is nothing to play games with, okay? And some of us have had some indication. Let's be practical for a moment and give one indication you might have. You sit down to do the typical book with 10, 20, 30 problems in math. The child does the first three or four or five correctly, and then you could be spending the rest of the day trying to do the math problems. Or there are more mistakes than there are correct answers. And you wonder why, what has gone on here? Well, during the first five problems, the child had no problem processing that or working physiologically. But once he went beyond or she went beyond their window, then there's a complete breakdown. And they go from production to non-production, or what we call erratic production. And so what should be a normal day of four and a half hours in instructing your child can turn into an 8 or 10 hour day, and you still haven't got accomplished what the manual say that you should be doing.
Mm. So it really isn't about quantity as much as it is about the quality of time. So if I discover that my child, say, her window, as you put it, is, say, 7 minutes, which is probably a distinct possibility with a lot of children, especially in the field, in the area of ADHD or ADD. If it's a 7-minute window, it's okay for me as a parent to restrict my math session to 7 minutes?
Yeah, now you might have to, you would maybe come back and do it in 3 or 4 different sessions, okay, at different times during the day. It depends on the individual child and what we're dealing with. But you're using a fairly idealistic situation, really. We see many children that when we first see them actually have no window auditorily or visually. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they can't learn. It means that they are in stress mode from the get-go. Now, in the short and long-term range program that needs to be set up for that child, of course, we're going to try to expand that window, okay? But we need to know is that there are certain breaks that are going to have to be given, because no matter what we're doing in that particular modality, whether it's auditory or visual, okay, we are depleting the physiological processes associated with serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine almost from the get-go. So the day has to be modified and the schedule has to be modified in significant portions to make it one that the child can be successful.
Which is the distinct advantage of homeschooling in and of itself over and against a traditional schooling environment. So you're not saying that we don't get the hours in math because the attention window is so short. We just simply wait for the window to reopen and then go at it, say, for another burst of teaching.
Right.
And so you may have several short sessions spread out over the course of an hour, 2 hours, or a day, then, based on the subject that you're tackling, you're just modifying it around what you know the window to be,
right.
It sounds like. And that is a huge shift for a lot of people listening to this call right now, because, you know, we're so trained that a classroom time is supposed to function or look like, you know, that traditional model of, you know, you start this class at 5 after the hour and you stay in there till you're up till 10 minutes to the next hour or whatever. And that does not fit the learning style of the vast majority of children, it would seem. Let's get into the next mistake that a lot of homeschool parents make, because the next one has to do with scheduling and routine. What is mistake number 3 that homeschooling parents often make?
Mistake number 3, Scott, is ignoring the importance of schedule and routine. One thing for any of us to realize is we're kind of creatures of habit, and it gives us kind of a lot of security when, as much as possible, we kind of know what we've got before us, and we get down a schedule and a routine of what we know is going to happen during the day, what we can expect to happen during the day, how long that day is going to be. Where are the things that we do going to take place? All of these things are very, very important. They're important for the security of any child, but they're extremely important for any child that has any type of learning problem or a problem that is interfering with them making the progress like they should normally have. So establishing that is very, very important. Also in scheduling, As we look at this whole picture, we need help as parents to know what are we trying to accomplish in our short-term goals, that is, for this particular grading period or for this particular semester, and then also an overview, what are we trying to accomplish in the next 3 to 5 years? That's extremely important so that we can see not only the immediate picture, but we have an idea somewhere where we're going in the long-term goals, because we can get off on rabbit trails or not get our priorities correct, or we can lose the vision of what is this thing really all about. I think one of the things when we try doing this on our own without help and getting someone to work with us, is we get kind of discouraged and we think, hey, we're never going to catch up. And the important thing is not whether we catch up. The important thing biblically is that we are building an educational program for our children step by step and precept by precept. People have been surprised just how many children, how far they were behind, wind up eventually in college and some of them even graduate schools. So the importance of understanding and knowing what to do about these mistakes is extremely important. Now, maybe this is a good time to mention that you need to get someone who can understand what we're talking about here and break this down in cognitive and academic terms so that a program can be set up. That's one of the main ministries of Faith Christian Ministries, is to doing a one-on-one diagnostic evaluation where we not only find your strength that your child has, but the weakness that they have, and then set up an individual curriculum that you can be successful with your child with. That is my specialty. I've worked with curriculum and the selection of curriculum for private schools, public schools, and individual home educators now for over 50 years. I'm very familiar with what curriculum is out there, what will work, what will not work, what is reasonable to have in a budget so that you can accomplish, you know, what you need to do. Then we also offer individual training where we bring in small groups of parents, usually no more than 6 sets of parents at a time, and we teach you how to work with your child and teach you how to implement the things that we're asking you to do. That works very good for you. It works very good for the child. And then also it introduces you to other folks that are dealing with things very similar to what you are. Some of our groups are for very, very gifted children. Some of our other groups are for children with special needs. Some of our other groups are with parents and children whose children medication is part of the process, but the medical doctor would like them eventually to get off of medication. And so we've got all sorts of things we can share together and see how we can modify the programs to achieve not only the short-term but the long-term goals that you might have and where you're going with the education of your child.
That is tremendous. And of course, as a parent, we have been part of these programs. My wife absolutely loves to attend the conferences that you have and the interaction with the other parents and the amazing results that we've seen and that others have seen, you truly believe in tackling some of the greatest issues and many of the issues for many parents that have seemed insurmountable, seemed like their children were having problems that were not solvable without higher doses of medication and things like that. But you've seen in some cases, and of course we would make no promises or guarantees on this call, but you've seen in some cases almost miraculous results through an educational approach. Could you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we've seen some children from very, very high doses of medications eventually come totally off of all medications. One of the factors that we know through working with hundreds of children is that when they are required to perform cognitively and academically above what they're capable of doing, then one of the results will be behavioral problems. In most of the cases that we see, there is, if the child is especially not very, very young, and even there sometimes in young children we see it, we see some type of behavioral pattern that's not appropriate or acceptable. In most of those cases, it is due to frustration. That frustration can either be on the child's part or on the parent's part or a combination of both. And when we alter what the child is doing and the curriculum the child is exposed to, we see dramatic changes in not only attitude, but in performance and in levels of being able to achieve things for the child before had failure after failure.
Wow, and therein lies hope for parents that are listening and that may be struggling as homeschool parents and probably have already in this call received a lot of paradigm-shifting information in terms of thinking outside the box and getting very, very specific on what your child's particular needs are and how to customize the environment and the curriculum around the learning styles of that child. That's going to bring this call to a close, and we are going to continue next time with Dr. Cates on the 7 most common homeschooling mistakes parents make that rob their children of their academic and life potential. Again, mistake number 1, today we covered attempting traditional school at home without modification. Mistake number 2, failing to discover the optimum length of your child's attention span. Mistake number 3, ignoring the importance of schedule and routine. And next time we have 4 more critical insights to share with you as we meet again with Dr. Cates. But today, I want to encourage every parent to investigate what Dr. Cates and his ministry does offer in terms of all of these things. Again, 50 years of research and experience in the educational field brought to you personally in a one-on-one setting. You need to find out more at paulcates.org. Again, that's Paul Cates, CATES.org, and find out more about their testing and their individualized inventories for your child so that you can develop that optimized learning environment, develop that optimized curriculum for your child's learning style, and get the best that they have to offer. It could make a forever difference in the rest of the life of your child, as well as making an impact right here. Again, we're going to wrap this up, and we'll join Dr. Cates again next time to cover the rest of these 7 common homeschooling mistakes. Dr. Cates, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.